As we just heard, more than 70 video surveillance cameras monitor the medical school complex where Annie Lay's body was found. That degree of monitoring is increasingly a regular feature at animal research labs, in part because of threats from animal rights activists. NPR's Cheryl Corley explains.
There are more than 1,000 research facilities in the United States registered with the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and many are tied to universities. Divulging information about their security plans is not on the top of their list, and most that NPR contacted declined to do so. Frankie Trull, the president of the Foundation for Biomedical Research in Washington, D.C., says research labs have been beefing up their security systems ever since the 1980s, when animal rights activists conducted a rash of break-ins.
So if someone from off the sidewalk wanted to walk through a lab, I would suggest that that would be very difficult to do in the vast majority of university research facilities around the country.
For many universities with research facilities, it's been a balancing act, determining how much to spend on security versus, say, the campus library or extracurricular activities. But Richard Bianco, the head of experimental surgery at the University of Minnesota, says it's a challenge research facilities have had to address. His school began to do so a decade ago after animal rights activists came on campus.
They let our animals go in a northern suburb of Minneapolis in April, which either the eagles and raptors got them or the coal got them. They killed our animals. But in addition, many of our students had their PhD thesis based on the data for some of our learning experiments in psychology. These animals were highly trained, pigeons, for instance, and they had to start all over with that. In addition, they destroyed cell cultures where we were growing cells to treat cancer patients, and that was destroyed and was not recoverable.
The university put cameras in hallways and common areas, required key cards for access into certain lab rooms and facilities, and put up panic alarms, buttons that could be pressed to alert police to come to the area. Jack Hessler is the co-editor of a document on planning and designing research facilities, a project of the American College of Laboratory Animal Medicine. He says beyond setting up cameras and card swipes and key card controls, some facilities use biometrics like a handprint or retina identification in addition to an ID card.
Even the dean and down the line, people don't have access to it if they're not doing animal research inside the facility and aren't approved to do that research. They don't get in.
Frankie Trull with the Foundation for Biomedical Research says protecting employees is paramount, but the animals are also important. Take mice and rats, for instance. Many of them are genetically modified, and it can take a great deal of time as well as money to get the particulars in place that researchers are trying to create.
And they need to be in special environments, and a lot of them are receiving treatments that ultimately will translate into human medicine. So when they're stolen, it can ruin years of a research project.
One of the last major break-ins at a university research facility occurred at the University of Iowa 5 years ago when the Animal Liberation Front claimed responsibility for removing hundreds of animals, mostly mice and rats, from research labs. They also smashed computers and destroyed research documents. At the time, the group claimed it bypassed many of the security measures. Trull and others agree that no security system is foolproof and there's always the risk of an inside job. The key to the surveillance system is to make sure someone is always monitoring what's being recorded by the cameras. Cheryl Corley, NPR News, Chicago.